Dear friends, grace and peace to you from the one who was born this day, Jesus the Messiah. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. It's just such a great day to be together. Christmas is my favorite holiday of the whole year. And today we heard the pronouncement from John's Gospel, the coming of Jesus. And what I love about John, the Gospel of John, that he doesn't write like the other Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Here there are no stories of John in John's Gospel of shepherds and sheep or a baby in a manger or angels who visit Mary or Magi from the East. And John writes the Gospel, his Gospel, after Matthew, Mark, and Luke have been written. And I think he wanted his message to be different. And so he starts with familiar words, in the beginning. Maybe you made that connection instantly to the beginning of creation, the words in Genesis, in the beginning. I think John is quite brilliant. I mean, if you have to think about it, he didn't have a Bible to make those connections. He had to know his scrolls, and scrolls that were wound up and tucked into the temple walls. He had to be a good listener. He was smart. And to make that connection between God who made the heavens and the earth, that spoke creation into being, he now sums up God as the Word. And that this Word, because we know, he says, in the beginning, was already there when the beginning began. That's enough to make my head spin, those first few words of John. It's just like imagining God putting the earth on its axis and spinning it. He's also different. His audience is different as well. He doesn't write to just ancient Jewish people. His word is for ancient Jews and Greeks of the time. It's as if he is saying this: you have spent centuries, meaning the words of the prophets, of talking and writing and thinking about the Word. And now I'm going to tell you who that Word is, that the Word is God. He's making a sharp move here, a distinct move, where he is literally laying the Word in the arms of a young person, Mary. He's putting the Word into the hands of the people. John clearly wants to meet people where they are and to tell them about this Word. And he goes in to do what the Word will do next, that the Word will be a source of life and light, and that just as God called out of the void, "Let there be light," this Word would be the light that darkness cannot overcome, no matter what we do. So he sends someone, God sends someone to be a testimony to the light, a forerunner, you could call him. He's known as John the Baptist. And he becomes this truth teller, a witness to the light. To be a witness takes commitment, and a commitment to speak the truth. Now, I've never been a witness at a trial, but I've seen them on TV, and I'm not talking like Law and Order or court TV, which I love People's Court, by the way. But even in those, they have witnesses, and a witness speaks to the truth, and it means you've chosen a side. It's a commitment. This forerunner reminds us that to be a follower of the light is a commitment. It's an openness, a willingness to let the light in. I'm reminded of the words from Amanda Gorman: "Are you brave enough to be the light? The light is there. Can you see it? Are you brave enough to be it?" But the sad thing is, as John reminds us, that there are people in the world, and still are, including ourselves, who are not ready to receive the light. Yet this light is for all people. often think it's a good thing that faith doesn't depend on us. Otherwise, this story would be a tragedy of rejection from the world. And that is not who the Word made flesh is. This Word is a light that remains steady, is a Word that is just. It is a Word where the abundance of God's grace freely flows. So what did God choose to do despite the rejection from God's people? The Word was sent anyway. It was made fleshy to be a human baby. John wanted the people to know that God had come close. No longer would they have to search for God, but through the gateway of human birth, the Word was made flesh and Jesus was born. Now here's the beautiful part. It's what I call the twist in the story. In ancient Jewish culture, the temple was everything. It is where people would gather. It was a social scene. It was a place to appease God, to bring burnt offerings or an offering of another kind. It is where the Holy of Holies would be, where only the priest was allowed, where the lampstand set on the table to shine light on the bread of life, the bread of presence known as manna. It was only found in Jerusalem. But with the Word made flesh, it wasn't born in the Holy of Holies, the most sacred space of the ancient Jewish people, but found in a stable in a dusty little town known as Bethlehem. You see, God was let loose there when the Word was made flesh and placed in the arms of a young mother. Jesus became accessible to all people, was the light for all people, into the nooks and crannies of the world. And not only the nooks and crannies of the world, but into the nooks and crannies of our life. So that the light would shine on and on and on through you. So I want to close with a little story. It's a Christmas story. It was a couple Christmases ago. And I was at Cub. You know how the grocery stores are right before Christmas. It's a frenzy. People are trying to pack up. At Cub, you have to pack your own food, you know, at the end. So I had paid my bill, and I was at the inn, and I was this way, right, packing. And there was this little grandma on this way, and she was packing our food, and our carts were here, and we were trying to pack up as fast as we could. When this man shows up, unannounced, and he put his hand on my shoulder and his hand on this little grandma and pushed us down. We fell into our food and our carts, and he walked on through. And I thought, I don't think I like this. So I picked up the little grandma, and I hooked her arm, and I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm okay." And I said, "Okay, we're going to go say something," because he was on the other side of her. And I just remember praying, "Lord, you better give me some words that are nice. Help me to be the light. Am I brave enough to be it? Can my words make a difference here?" Because you're angry, right? So I walked over to him and I said, "Excuse me, sir, but you pushed us down." And I'm like, "You better say something, Jesus, because my mind is racing here." And he said, "Well, you pushed me down." And I said, "Well, you could have used your words." And he said, "You were in my way." To which I stood up straight and I said, "Do you have a mother?" And he looked at me and I was like, "Did I just say that? Is this the light?" And he looked at me and I said, "Oh, yeah, do you have a mother?" And he was all flustered by that question. And he was like, well, yes. And I said, "Well, I am a mother of two boys. And I tell them all the time, you cannot put your hands on anybody. You don't put your hands on a female. You don't fight. You don't hit. And you put your hands on me. What would your mother say? And he left in a rush. And by this time, there was a crowd around us. And the little grandma stood up straight. I'm a mom too. You see, the light shines when we call upon it. When we remember what Jesus was sent to be, the Word made flesh in us, to dwell among us, to pitch a tent next to your house, to live with you, to dwell with you, to be within you. To remember that your hands are here to help, not hurt, to heal, not hit. And that what you say makes the difference in the lives of others. Maybe you won't ask the question, do you have a mother? But maybe you will respond in love and kind in a different way as the light shines on and on in you. Merry Christmas. Amen.